We have no idea what God can do when we get silent, get quiet in His presence. Jesus said, "My Father has worked to this day. I also work." And the Spirit of God also works. In other words, God keeps working all the time. Well, what is He doing? And the Bible tells us that He has made everything beautiful in this creation, this visible creation. And also, He has put eternity or eternal life in the hearts of men and women, those who believe in Him and those who have received Him into their hearts. And He is working. As I remember, the King James Version says, He has set eternity or eternal life in the hearts of men and women. And I'm quoting from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. You can look it up later. This is what God is doing. In other words, He is setting, or as some people put it, He's setting into the hearts of men and women, those who believe in Him, those who desire Him, and those who love Him, and those who have received His Holy Spirit. And He is setting. I like the word setting in His presence, His holy presence, His Holy Spirit in their hearts. And He's doing this while we get quiet and still before Him or in His presence. And the same chapter, in the following verse, it goes on to say that whatever God does, nobody knows. Whatever God does from the beginning to the end, nobody knows. And yet, the writer, who is Solomon, says that I know that whatever God does, He does it forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. In other words, man cannot add any to what God is. Man cannot take away anything from God does in us and for us. As we were all got quiet before the Lord in His presence, another thought that came to me, and that is, we are in touch with heaven. We are connected to heaven. I was thinking about the wonders of internet, what internet can do today. Millions and millions of people around the world are connected through the internet, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or email, and people all over the world are being connected through the internet. However, the human connection is only on the human level. It is still what I would call the horizontal connection. And yet we have to see the what we call a vertical connection, that is the connection between heaven and earth, between God and man, or mankind. Now, I was thinking while we were, everybody, you know, was quiet, and while Pastor Rick was leading worship, and I thought, wow, these people are connected with heaven. These people are experiencing something far superior than internet. Hallelujah. We're connected to heaven because we are in touch with God. And this is one of the purposes, or one of the primary purposes of Pentecost, is so that we might be connected with God. We're connected with Jesus, who is in heaven, exalted on the right hand of the Father. And yet, we are connected to Him. And yet, He is in us, and we are in Him. I realized what the Apostle Paul was saying, you know, that God has raised us together with Christ from the dead, and then seated with Him in heavenly realms. Oh, dear friends, we are in heavenly realms tonight. Can you believe? You are in touch with heaven. You are in the Spirit, spiritually speaking. You are in heaven with Jesus. And Paul says, do not think of the things on earth, but think of the things above in heaven. For Christ is there. You are hid with Christ in God. You see, what we need, folks, is to have just a simple faith in the Word of God. And if we would take the Word of God at its face value, we are citizens of heaven. We can live a heavenly life, not just earthly. Every Christian, spirit-filled, should live in a heavenly as well as an earthly life. We are walking with God. We're not just walking on the earth in a flesh with people. We are walking with God. Yes, God is in heaven, but He's also in us. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, let's remember we are talking about God. And Paul says, the Lord is that Spirit. Speaking of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then the Lord Himself said in John 4:24, it says, God is Spirit. So they that worship God must worship Him in spirit. Those who relate to God, who wish to have communion with God, who wish to walk with God, must do so in the Spirit. Amen? In the Spirit. Pastor Rick kept singing, mentioned about the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. What he was talking about God, he's talking about the Lord. So when we say the Spirit or the Lord, or God, or Jesus, or Christ, we are talking about one God, the same God. There is no God beside our God. Amen? Amen. As far as I'm concerned, people may call many other names God, but as far as I'm concerned, there's only one God whose name in the Old Testament is Jehovah, yes, or the Lord, or the Holy One. And then His name in the New Testament is Jesus, or Christ. It's just as simple as that. So, We do get confused. And Jesus has another name which we need to be reminded. Whenever we gather together in His name, we need to be reminded of His other name, which is Emmanuel. And you know, when the angel came and revealed Joseph was thinking about putting away his fiancée Mary, because he heard that she became pregnant, he was conceived, and the angel of the Lord had to come to Mary, to Joseph, and then says, "Joseph, it's okay. You can take Mary as your wife, for she was conceived of the Holy Spirit." And just as the prophet said, that a virgin shall have a child, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. When translated, God with us. God with us. Not just with Jesus, God with us. That's what Jesus' name, the other name, means. And that's why the Lord taught the disciples, and He's so teaching us today, that wherever you gather together, you come together in my name, there I am in the midst of. In my name, Emmanuel, when translated, means God with us. I'm so so glad, and such a wonderful thing to remember that, and to gather together in His name, in that particular sense, that God is with us. And as He's with us here tonight. Amen. I noticed quite a few of them were enjoying the presence of the Lord and worshiping Him along with Pastor Rick. And we don't have to see Him. God is a spirit. How can you see the spirit? It's just like we have a soul in us. How can we see our soul? But we all believe, beyond a shadow of doubt, that we have a soul. In the same manner, we ought to believe that the Spirit of God is within us. Amen? Amen. He's with us. And that's what Pentecost is all about. I was still on this the same passage that we find in John chapter 14. I think I'm still on verse 16. As I was meditating a little bit again this afternoon, and I read this verse 16, and Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper," or in the NIV version, another advocate or counselor, "that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth." The Holy Spirit, as we refer to. Another helper, another comforter or counselor or encourager. It's not another human being, or like Jesus was when He came in the flesh. When the Bible says another, it means He's in another form, another way. He comes to us in many forms, in many ways. He comes to us in the form of power, of strength, of wisdom, of love. That's what it means, another. It's not somebody else. It's the same person, same God who has come in a different form. And we call it the Trinity, the three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But there is only one God. Let's just remember, He comes in different forms. As I mentioned last Wednesday, He comes to us, and especially in the last chapter of the Gospel of Mark, He specifically says that Jesus appeared to the two disciples who were on their way to the village called Emmaus. He specifically mentioned that Jesus appeared to them in another form, and that's why they didn't recognize Him as He was walking with them on the road, explaining to them the scriptures that they couldn't understand. Because Jesus was in another form. So when the Comforter, the word, the Greek word paraclete is translated in these various ways, it just tells us that Jesus has come in the person of the Holy Spirit. That we don't see, and yet we can experience Him in all these ways. In the way of encouragement, in the way of healing. He's our healer. And in the form of, say, wisdom, when we need it. And the Bible teaches that if any of you lack wisdom, let him just ask without doubt. And then Jesus comes. Well, He is our wisdom. And the Bible says that God has made Him our wisdom, our sanctification, our redemption. And I like the song that I sang last Wednesday, that Jesus, Savior, is all things to me. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. He can strengthen us. He can lift us up. He can renew us. He can heal us. And He can fill us with whatever we need. And He can do that. Oh, it's just so wonderful to know Jesus in this way or these many ways. Hallelujah. And I was just so blessed, you know, just by being in His presence, and as there we are. And then I thought of the scriptures. And like Paul says, you know, this word, this living word now, Jesus now is the living word. He was the word in the beginning. And John tells us the word was God. And the word became flesh. And He walked on this earth for 33 and a half years. And then He died. According to the Bible, on the third day He was raised from the dead. And after 40 days of appearing to His disciples in various forms, then He went back to heaven. And there He received the promised Spirit from the Father and then poured it out on the day of Pentecost. And so when Peter explained what Pentecost means to those people who were wondering who couldn't understand. They were asking, what does this mean? And there were others, you know, who were just laughing at those people who were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter and got up to explain what it means. And to put it simply, it means that Christ is risen. He's now at the right hand of the Father. And there he received the promised Spirit and poured out what you have seen and heard. In other words, Peter was testifying to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, because he rose from the dead and he sent his Holy Spirit, thereby he can dwell within us. He can abide with us, like this verse 16 says. Now, when he says, I will pray the Father, and the prayer of the Father will give you another helper. Now, this was before he went back to heaven. This was before Pentecost. Now, we're living in the days after Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has been sent to us for over 2,000 years, and there are still people who do not know the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus said in the next verse, he says, the Spirit of truth, you know, the world cannot receive him because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, meaning those who have been taught and who are ready to receive the Holy Spirit. And we know that on the day of Pentecost, there were about 120 people praying in that tower for 10 days. They were ready. They were well taught. They were just waiting for this to happen. And it happened on the day of Pentecost. And then Peter got up and explained what it is all about. It means that Christ has risen, and that he has come in the Holy Spirit. It has come to dwell within us, to have a personal relationship with us. Now, I wanted to you to note that in Acts chapter 2, where Peter explained the meaning of Pentecost, he quoted two scriptures from the Old Testament. One from the prophet Joel, chapter 2, I believe verse 28 through 31. And the other scripture he quoted is from Psalm 16. Psalm 16, where David, the last four verses of David's Psalm. Now, Psalm 16 tells us that David was having this personal, intimate relationship with God, and that he was living in the presence of God, and he found out that in the presence of God is fullness of joy. He found that everlasting pleasure at his right hand. That was David's experience, but which was a type that this was to be the experience of all Christians in the New Testament, especially those who have received the Holy Spirit. And Peter and these other 120, they all came into this experience because they know what Peter was talking about. But I wanted to point out to you that in the last verse that Peter quoted from Psalm 16, the Holy Spirit, now that he has come and has directed Peter to change the words of the last verse of Psalm 16. And if you would look at your Bible, if you turn to Psalm 16 first, the last verse where it says, you will show me the path of life. And in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand, are pleasures forevermore. Now, if you would turn to Acts 2, I believe it's verse 30, where he quote four verses from Psalm 16, the last four. But I want you to look at the last verse. And there, the Holy Spirit, now that he has come and he has directed Peter to change the words, that you, that I'm reading from my New King James Version Bible, that you have made known the ways of life. The ways of life means the ways to approach Jesus, the ways to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus says, I am the life, I am the way, I am the truth. So the way of life is the way leading us to Jesus. In other words, now the Holy Spirit has come and he dwells within us. We have this indwelling Holy Spirit. Now we have found the way of life, which is Jesus himself. And then the next verse is interesting, almost entirely different from the last verse in Psalm 16. The last verse, he changed it in this way. In my new King James verse, New King James Version, it says, you will make me full of joy in your presence. And I think the NIV says, you will fill me with joy in your presence. Am I right?
Yes.
In other words, now that the Holy Spirit has come, whereby Christ may dwell within our heart, and that he is so close to us now, he's so close to us now that the apostle says, the word is not far from you, it's in your mouth and it's in your heart. We don't realize, we have no idea how much Jesus is closer to us, how much he's closer to us than we know it. He's deep down in our soul, in our spirit, places we cannot see, we hardly reach, but yet he's there. So he's not far from us. And that's why the Bible says, if you draw near to God, in other words, if you just turn your heart to God, God will draw near to you. He will make yourself so close to you that you can feel, you can sense his presence. How wonderful it is. That's why I appreciate just being in the presence of God than anything in this world. And this afternoon I found myself singing this song, In the Presence of God. And the words, I go like this. In his presence, let me linger, let me stay. There is healing. Every moment, every day. For I have found such peace and rest in his presence, let me linger, let me stay. We have no idea what God can do when we get into his presence. His presence is just so wonderful. His presence is the all-important thing in our life. If we know that God is present with us, and that we can walk in His presence, we shall not be afraid of anything. We can say, like Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. His presence is really a strengthening presence. It's a healing presence. It's a lifting, it's an uplifting presence. And oh, I tell you, I'd rather be in the presence of God than be in this, you know, the other night in Las Vegas, they have this boxing match, they call it the fight of the century. Why? People pay a lot of money, as much as $40,000, just to watch the fight. I tell you, I'd rather be in the presence of God and just enjoy. Oh, I get such peace and rest. And in my soul, you see, all of these things that we see in the world, they can not do anything for our soul, but only God can feed our soul. As we read His Word, as we meditate, you know, the Word of God, our souls are fed, our souls are strengthened, are changed and purified. And only God can do these wonderful things for us. Oh, in His presence. In His presence. That's why Jesus came. He came not only to save us from our sins, but He came especially to bring the presence of God to us and to bring us into the presence of God too. And that is why He has this other name, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen.
God with us. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that we can be in a meeting like this, where we can enjoy His presence. We can get our souls fed, refreshed, and renewed. I was thinking about this verse, you know, in Acts chapter 3. Let's look at it. I like this verse just so much. Acts chapter 3, verse 39.
239.
Where am I?
That's 239.
Is that 39 or 19?
239.
Let me check. Let me check my Chinese Bible. I know where they are better than in the English Bible. Okay. Yeah, it's 19. I'm sorry. Chapter 3, verse 19. Of course, this was in the course of Peter explaining the meaning of Pentecost. And verse 19, he says, repent therefore and be converted. Yes. Now, I'm reading from my New King James Version. I think in NIV it says, repent then and turn to God. Repent them and turn to God. Here the word goes converted. It doesn't mean, you know, like a heathen are being converted into Christianity. No, it means just you have to change your mind. You have to turn away from the things of the world, and you have to turn to God. Yeah. As you repent of your sins, that your sins may be blotted out. or wiped out in the NIV, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. New Testament times are supposed to be times of refreshing. Where does refreshing come from? From the presence of the Lord. In other words, as we spend time in the presence of the Lord, we are being renewed, we are refreshed, we are restored. Whatever we might have lost as we walk in this world, and as we come into the presence of God, or even if we fell, even if we have sinned, and here we are told to repent. And John, the Apostle John, tells us that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and He's just to forgive our sins, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, can cleanse us from all sins and as we turn to God. And the next thing that God will do is that we will experience the times of refreshing which come from the presence of the Lord. As we walk in this world, our soul suffers that we don't, without our realizing it. As we watch, you know, the television and the things of the world, and our soul suffers. How can our soul be restored, be recovered? Whatever we might have lost, it can be recovered. We come into the presence of God. And this is what Pentecost is all about. Oh, what a wonderful blessing that we can have in this New Testament times, and that we can come into the presence of God and have our souls refreshed, renewed, and revived. You know, nothing can do it except our being in the presence of God. So I would encourage you once again that take every opportunity to come into the presence of God, so that you will be constantly renewed, constantly refreshed. You know, we Christians don't realize how much we need the refreshing, the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Especially those of us, you know, who have become so used to coming to church. Did you know that just coming into church can be a habit, can be a habitual thing, without realizing that when we come to church, we come into the presence of God. We don't take meetings just for granted. We take every meeting, as Jesus said, where He's in the midst. He says 2 or 3, or 20, or 30, or 200, come together in My name, and there I am est. And He, the Son of God, is walking in the midst of 7 candles, meaning all churches. Every church is supposed to experience His presence in every meeting. But we can be, you know, so used and so habitual that we take things for granted. Every meeting ought to be a refreshing experience for us. Every meeting ought to be a renewal experience for us, or re-strengthening our souls in our experience. So whatever we get from a meeting depends pretty much on our attitude. We don't come with an attitude of indifference when we come to the house of God. This is where the presence of God is. And Peter tells us that now that the Holy Spirit has come, and that we can be filled with the joy, and that we can be refreshed in His presence. And I like this New King James Version says, you can make us full of joy, just as David experienced, as he found out that in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. You know, other places, and as we do other things, you know, we get only partial joy or pleasure, temporary at best. And after we come home, you know, and we feel empty again, unless we have learned to walk and to live in the presence of God. So let's spend time, as I say, never ignore this, I would call it the greatest blessing that God has given us, is that He will set His presence within us. He is working. He is working all the time to set His presence within our heart. So let Him do it, and so that we may be walking just in His presence, day by day, moment by moment. Hallelujah. Now, I'd like to close with this short psalm that I've just quoted, that I have read to you. It's one of my favorite psalms. In His presence, in His presence, let me linger, let me stay. There is healing, there is healing. Every moment, every day. For I have found such peace and rest, and the strength I need for every test. In His presence, in His presence, let me linger, let me stay. For I have found such peace and rest, the strength I need for every test. In His presence, in His presence, let me linger, let me stay.